Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Monday afternoon. Yes, indeed. We're all back at it, right? I have some very sad news I have to pass along. Just posted a couple of moments ago. Olivia Newton-John has passed away. 73 years of age. Her official social media page reporting that just a couple of moments ago. And for those of us of a certain age, remember her with John Travolta, right? The movie version of Grease, and you probably owned an Olivia Newton-John 45 or album or a couple of them. So sad, sad thing. But the report was it was very peaceful and surrounded by family and friends. And so there you have it, all right? Olivia Newton-John, 73 years of age. Passed away. All right. A couple of things that you and I are going to be dealing with. Tomorrow afternoon, our good friend, former Virginia Governor Doug Wilder, is going to be here. We're just going to get his take on all of the nonsense we are seeing right now with Richmond's mayor and chief of police. Chief of police today shutting down any discussion, any conversation, any questioning of what just a couple of weeks ago was the number one issue for the chief and the mayor, that they had somehow broken up this effort to commit a mass murder at Dogwood Dell. And that started falling apart almost immediately. And now the chief says, hey, that's it. I'm not even talking about it anymore. So we'll get Governor Wilder's perspective tomorrow afternoon at 3:35. So I need to know exactly who's pulling the strings. I look at Joe Biden, and I've said this before, I just don't think there's much there. He's never been a nice guy, despite the common description of him. Oh, he's just Uncle Joe, and he says these weird things, but he's really a nice guy. He's not a nice guy, and he's never been a nice guy. And it's pretty clear that his son, Hunter, the dumbest of all the Bidens, somehow figured out a way to make a boatload of money trading on that name. Now the question is, who's behind the scenes pulling the strings? Tristan Justice, a fine writer with The Federalist, has really, really, really taken a major deep dive on this. If you've not seen the article, I do have it posted on all the social media channels. We'll get it out there again. It's a pretty quick read, but I got news for you. It's a good one, and I'm happy to say Tristan is with us. Tristan, thanks for making some time to be here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Your article, number one, well-written, well-researched, but I got to tell you, dude, this is some terrifying stuff you've uncovered.
Well, I just did the reporting. So there's a new report that came out from this government transparency group called Inside Biden's Basement, and they came out with a report detailing the connections of 13 high-level administration officials who were previously registered as foreign agents under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, and that is a law that requires anyone who's doing any type of government lobbying on behalf of a foreign entity or serving a foreign client, they must register with the Department of Justice. And so this report came out detailing these 13 administration officials, and of course I cross-examined the data and confirmed that these individuals were in fact registered with these entities. And I found these officials were working on behalf of other governments prior to joining the administration. And that includes the Attorney General Merrick Garland and Anita Dunn, who's a senior advisor to President Biden.
Mm-hmm. And do you get a sense? I mean, I'm looking at some of the countries, and I'd ask you to talk about some of the countries that they were representing. Do you get a sense that prior service is really guiding the decisions that are being made?
Well, potentially, but I think an important point here is that President Biden is of any president we've had in the recent decades, is president's probably being led by his advisors more more than others, considering how he constantly stumbles, he can't even speak well. So considering that we have an administration that's governing as radically as it is, I mean, they're pushing through this Inflation Reduction Act, which is another trillions of dollars in spending. And so it's important to look at the people who's surrounding the president and advising the president. And these are the people who are really pulling the strings and really running the government. And so looking at who they've represented previously and how that might conflict here as this administration continues to make decisions for the American people, that's important to know.
So I'm looking at a couple of the interests that had been represented. One of them was Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan seems to be well represented now in the Biden administration. Should we be especially worried about that? Would Kazakhstan be, you know, sending us Christmas cards come December?
I think there's legitimate cause for concern. Now, the Defera filings are pretty ambiguous as to what exactly they were doing, why they're doing it. They merely just had to disclose who they're working for and just different expenses that they had and different compensation numbers. But there was some interesting data on here. Looking at Kazakhstan in particular, we have White House Deputy Counsel Jonathan Su's law firm paid $30,000 a month out to a public affairs firm on behalf of Kazakhstan just 6 years ago. And that same public affairs firm was employing who is now a special assistant to President Biden named Erin Pelton. And she was employed with a public affairs firm called Mercury the same year. And she was working on behalf of both Kazakhstan and Qatar. And so, you know, these Middle Eastern nations don't have the best reputation when it comes to corruption practices. I mean, yep. I think we're getting even Eastern Europe, especially, where I think we're getting a rude awakening about that, considering looking at Ukraine now, after we doled out billions and billions of dollars in weapons and supplies, and now no one really seems to know where any of that's going. So it's important to especially highlight, especially these parts of the world where nations that are notoriously corrupt and how they've been involved in American politics.
You know, it's interesting, Tristan. I see a number like that, $30,000 a month, and I'm thinking, that's not a bad gig, right? I mean, $30,000 a month, and it's Kazakhstan, so it might very well have come in small, unmarked bills and left in a satchel at the bus station, for all we know. Is there a time frame? Let's say that you today are representing Kazakhstan, and then all of a sudden Joe Biden says, hey, I want you to come work in the White House. Is there like a cooling off period? Do you have to sit on the sidelines for a year or what have you before you can go into government service?
I'm actually not sure if there's a cooling off period from any type of lobbying and then going into administration. I know there's a cooling period for, I think, generals have to wait a certain amount of time or military people before they can go into government service. But, you know, I'm not sure if there's a foreign lobbying agreement. Maybe there should be.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it certainly raises questions about different interests that are involved in the White House. And of course, we know President Biden's son was engaged in all sorts of overseas business ventures, leveraging the family name left and right. And even so, and of course, that's been well reported. So it raises intriguing questions about this administration for sure. And let's not forget the press hyperventilating over Michael Flynn being registering under FARA when this administration no doubt has dozens and dozens of officials, I'm sure, that are registered under FARA. This is just the tip of the iceberg detailing 13.
Hey, Tristan, let me ask you about some of the other stuff you're covering, because I got to tell you, I think, number one, I love The Federalist, and that's where I think I've been reading you most frequently these days. But am I correct that The Washington Examiner, The Daily Signal, also places where I've seen your work? What else is sort of on your radar? Because this is only going to keep you occupied for a couple of moments. I know you got other stuff cooking.
Well, there's certainly a broad range of topics to cover in this environment. So as the Western correspondent based in Denver, I do a lot of land and energy issues and reporting where I can. And of course, inherent in Western correspondent includes all these Western races from Alaska to Wyoming, especially. So the January 6th committees and its proceedings have definitely been the primary focus throughout the summer. And of course, we have a Wyoming primary next week where Liz Cheney will ultimately face voters at the ballot box. And then another primary up in Alaska where Senator Murkowski might finally, Trump-endorsed primary challenger, might finally dethrone Lisa Murkowski after she's been in the Senate for 20 years. And so a lot of campaigns, a lot of energy reporting, and just broad conservative reporting.
Can I ask you, it's unfair, I know, because you're not prepped, but what the heck, you seem like you're a pro, Tristan. So in that Alaska primary, it's not just the Senate race, right? We've got Sarah Palin, who'd like to be the member of Congress, and they've got this, unless I misunderstand, it's like this wide open, everybody into the pool sort of a primary. Is she going to wind up, you think, winning that?
So Sarah Palin did advance after the first primary round, and so she's definitely a contender to take the House seat. And it's interesting that she's running in a race where, running in a year where drill, baby, drill is going to be a popular campaign slogan. So, but it's interesting, the Alaska Senate race will be next week. Murkowski's lost a Senate primary before. She lost in 2010, and she won a write-in campaign for a U.S. Senate seat. Now, I did a podcast with Kelly Chewbacca, who's the Trump-endorsed primary challenger in this race. I said, look, Murkowski's lost the primary before. She ran a write-in campaign. Are you prepared to run that type of campaign going into November? And she said, absolutely. Well, I'm probably going to have to, considering that it's a ranked choice voting state, so the procedures have changed. So I don't think we're going to settle the Alaska question on next Tuesday, but I do think this could be the year that sends Murkowski back to Alaska for good.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, I want to get you back, if you don't mind, talk about that and some other stuff, if you're willing to.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Happy to come on.
All right, thank you, man. That is Tristan Justice. He is the Western correspondent for The Federalist. So he's got this thing about the foreign influence inside the Biden White House. We've got an idea now, some of the people that are really pulling the strings on our presidential meat puppet. Because, you know, you just know. You look at Biden, it's like, damn, who has the duty today? Somebody today has to be walking around with a mirror to hold under this guy's nose just to make sure he's still, you know, coming down for breakfast. And he's not making decisions, is he? The Inflation Reduction Act. Isn't that what they call this garbage that came out over the weekend? By the way, Tiny Tim Kaine, Mark Warner, both voted for this. Let me explain to you what they did. I'll do it in detail in a moment. They both voted to increase your taxes. Abigail Spanberger, Elaine Loria, they are poised to increase taxes. You and I took a 9.1% pay cut last year, and these boneheads are increasing taxes, and they're doubling the size of the IRS. Go ahead, tell me again who's fighting for you, who's on the real side of the people. It's 345. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.